meeting the needs of your mate. I think I'll go a little bit and then you fellows interact here, because I think that would be really good. And no one person can completely meet the needs of another person. God meets their needs. Often we're used of God because He is our hands, feet, heart, tongue, so forth. Actually, we help a person meet his own needs through Christ. The individual himself must take responsibility to fulfill his own needs. We help. Now that is a fantastic thing, I see. With my daughter Bonnie, 16-year-old, with my son Jay, 20-year-old, with my pastor, with my wife, the best thing I can do is to help them meet their own needs. Because after all, doesn't our resources come from within? I'll interject something I don't have in my notes here. I've gone over with you part of them. I have about 18, 19 principles I use in training men and in developing myself. One of my principles is, what is, is. I give them a funny name, what is, is. Sometimes it takes me full 5 months to get a person to zero. For instance, I give an illustration. I have been really helped by a book, Christ and the Media, by Malcolm Muggeridge. It's a blow your mind away.
Max, that's the one that they were talking about this at the Glen, that guy's autobiography, Malcolm Muggeridge.
If you don't have it, boys, it's a
Christ
must.
In the Media.
Christ and the Media. I'll send you a copy if you need one. I'll get it. Maybe you
can.
I'll get it for you. If you put a note on that yellow piece of paper right there, Christ and the Media, John, get information, put it right there. I'll get it for when I get up. Okay. Well, I personally, now, I don't come hard on things. That is, I don't come hard on everything. I will come hard on something. I would have all my staff read that book. Now, Malcolm has gone so far, he has taken his television and he tossed it. Billy Graham says he can't go that far. See? In Malcolm's book. He says Malcolm takes it further than he can take it. But Malcolm's come from a British background, and Billy's come from here, and Malcolm's older than Billy, Dr. Graham. All right. But Malcolm presents this. The media is all fantasy, and Christ is all reality. Now then, we're not supposing that we can live in all reality, and we're not intended to live in all fantasy. However, to realize what is helps us make a decision. Am I communicating here? I am 61 years old. I am. What is helps us make a decision. And in life, I am 61 years old. I do have bad feet. My arch support, see, you know. My feet are sore every morning. Been that way for several years. See? There are some things that are. Now, we have to come to this point before we say that's good or that's bad or I wish it was different or let's change it. We have to come what is. Christ is all reality. The media is all fantasy. And someone said, well, what about the news, Malcolm? He says, that heads the list. And he tells about the time when he wrote many, many, many frontline dispatches looking at a brick wall. When his office, his desk faced a brick wall in some basement in Moscow. And he would send out these fantastic, a figment of the imagination. He tells it. And it's done today. For instance, we get pictures of war. Bang, 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 bang. Well, that may or may not be war, really. It might be a cowboy set, movie. You never know if it's war unless the shells are busting around you. And we hadn't lost a cameraman in years. When you begin to lose cameramen, that means the enemy knows where you are. Me shooting has nothing to do with war. Enemy shooting at me is what has to do with war. You know, if you're in a battle, if you're catching a few. Mr. Reagan's in a battle. He caught a few. Those guys in a battle, they were shooting. The lunatic was shooting at them. See? That's when you know when you're in a battle. It's how much the enemy's shooting at you, not how much you're shooting at the enemy. You may be shooting them, but there may be enemy there, see? Okay, what is. All right. Now, in regard to meeting the needs of your mate, we find some little old sweet girl, and I met some over the weekend, 22, 25, that would just do anything to find some fine Christian guy and start off the program, huh? Once they get the program started, they think, well, I need a little house. Then I need a piano. And then we got a baby coming. And then I need a washing machine. And I need this, and I need this. And then she gets all that. And then if you take that away from her, she says, I'm losing my God-given rights. I have a right for a washing machine, a right for automatic oven, a right. And we come up, we raise up a bunch of people that have certain rights. And when you take those rights away, they say, I'm losing my rights. It all is, see? No. If you have an automatic washing machine, you have an automatic washing machine. You don't necessarily have a right to have an automatic washing machine. If you have a holiday, you have a holiday. You don't necessarily have a right to have a holiday. See? Okay, meeting the needs of your mate. See, sometimes a girl thinks, well, I'd be happy if I could get a big vacuum cleaner and keep my house clean. Well, happiness doesn't come from vacuum cleaners or holidays or automatic washing machine or having a baby or having a husband. Happiness comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, condition of the heart. Fair enough? So meeting the needs of your mate, we have to realize what is, and help people and help our wives and help the girls. We're talking about one subject now, not we shouldn't help ourselves and the fellas and so on, but right now we're talking about meeting the needs of our mate, and our mates are girls. See things as they are. Okay.
How do you communicate that?
One is just review. One is count your blessings, name them one by one. We had silverfish and roaches all over New Zealand. When Max visited me, it was silverfish and roaches. One of the reasons is that we rented houses. And people left their gear in their houses and their private stuff in their closets, and that festered roaches. No way we get rid of them. In Oklahoma City, we have roaches, but we're fighting them. And we have it sprayed about every 4 or 5 months. See? Well, let's say we spend $100 to $150 a year, and we got a few roaches, and it bothers Helen. Okay? But I help. Well, hon, we don't have the problem we had in New Zealand. So by comparison, a dozen roaches in 3 months isn't like a house full of roaches every day for 8 years, 9 years, see? And what else can we do? We're going full stomp on the roaches. We do have enough money to have it sprayed, see? We could be, you know, I'd like to have my father's house sprayed. But boy, see, I'm just there 2 days, you know, roaches, you step on those things, you think you're on skates. You think they got wheels. Fish bait? Ooh, they're lovely. Okay. You begin to look at the good side. But this relationship has to be developed. You know, and looking at Jesus, looking at reality rather than looking at fantasy. We go to a person's house. I would go to old John Kerr's house in Ada, Oklahoma. John's a manufacturer. And John has designed him a house and built it. It's only 2,200 square feet, which is modest for a man of his means. But I'm telling you, he really did some thinking. It's just gorgeous. It's not ritzy, but it's just gorgeous, see? Well, I have a little twinge. I'd like a house like that, you see? You know, got great big old bedroom with a big private bath and dressing room in every bedroom. Only has three. But he has enough room. I could take the same floor place and have four, but he's got his train room and other things, den and other things, see? He only got one living room, and he designed it for have meetings and so on, see? Okay. But I don't have that. So I have to watch that. So I have to teach my wife to watch that. Relative. I'll tell you a story that Chuck Swindoll told us the other day. You heard that, didn't you, Max? When Chuck gave this weird tale about this gal, she dropped out of school, and she was just about to marry this divorcee, and at the other day at the conference, did you hear Chuck Swindoll? You remember he told about this gal, he read it out of Reader's Digest or something. She said, "Dear Mom and Dad, some things I really ought to tell you. See, I've been dating this divorcee, and his wife just left him, and his divorce is going to get through. We're thinking about marrying, and I've dropped out of school, and we're living together, and just in passing, I really think I'm pregnant, see?" And then you turn over the second page. "Mom and Dad, the things I wrote on my first page is all untrue. But I do need $100, and I did fail something," and so on. And by comparison, her second needs aren't even mentioned when comparison to her first needs. But if she hadn't put that first page, they'd have blown their fuse on the second page. You follow that? It was a dirty trick.
Yeah, and I think in this, I've heard the statement, he says, "Don't you ever do that to your kids, I mean, to your parents, if you're listening to the statement."
Okay. Now, needs, there are four categories of needs. And they're in Luke 2:52, wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Intellect, physical, spiritual, social. Intellect, physical, spiritual, social. Luke 2:52. Wisdom, stature, God and man. Intellect, physical, spiritual, social. One. A human being is a person first, then a husband or a wife. Or boy, girl, or president, or whatever. But he's a person first. And wives are people first. His roles have changed and will change throughout life. His principal needs are basic. Wisdom. Intellect. Just saying. Dr. J.O. Saunders states that we live 80% of our life in our mind. Therefore, we should cultivate the mind all our life. Fathers are wise to give their girls a good, well-rounded education, sports, activity, music, art, as well as the three R's. We're terribly disappointed in New Zealand. So many of the fathers, and Christian fathers, said, "Oh, well, she knows enough to have kids and milk cows." Well, boy, imagine being raised in a father's home who thought you were a kid raiser and a cow milker. That really is degrading, you know. Well, I would want my daughter educated, my wife educated, not necessarily to market brains. In America, we have get a degree in geology. Well, how are you going to market it? Well, get a degree in art. How are you going to market it? Well, we do have to make a living. No problem with that, okay? But there's some things we might want to learn because we want to cultivate the mind and live, not necessarily market it. The music. You might want to teach music or learn music. I think music is a wonderful thing. My sister was a high school grad, but she educated herself. She's with the Lord now. And she read profusely. And most of what she read was not marketable. But it was entertaining and educational and philosophical and religious. And she just enjoyed life because she improved her mind from... She's a smart girl, but she came and graduated in about 34, 35, and she couldn't go to college, and she was quite happy. But she improved her mind. So we want to be sure that we help our wives improve their mind all the time. Helen and Bonnie are going to a speed reading class. Helen is 52. Speed reading class. One of the reasons she's going is going with Bonnie, but she's always wanted to go to a speed reading class. I took night classes till I was 32 years old. I never did graduate from college, but I might be an advantage. I've been studying profusely since I was, you know, because I realized I'm ignorant. It might be just a topic I just for graduation, and he realizes he's ignorant, and he have to study the rest of his life. I'm trying to be funny, but really, we stop. Fair enough? We should have a vicious reading program. You know? Intellect. Helen and I worked on helping each other continue to feed our minds, each of us reading one or two books all the time. Now, practically, our struggle, our desire is to arrange protected times of reading as well as weekly reading. We've never been bored in our married life. We like outings. We like to go fishing. We would like to go to certain concerts or musical or what have you. And we do. However, if we can't, we really can entertain ourselves hours with a book. Or two books, or three books. See? Each mate has to keep the other's scheduled time frame, life schedule in mind. Also keep in mind that life is in the seasons of spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Where are they right now? Your wives are a little younger than mine. I would presume. Maybe not, really. My wife may have a younger mind as yours. Really. So keep in mind, we can't do everything all the time. Babies, repair the house, vacation, you know. Things come in seasons, but you don't have babies all your life. See? You see, Luke 15:17, this prodigal son, it says, and when he came to himself, then he went to God. He used his mind first. He didn't get to God. He got all the way back home. If we're going to find out that the Father is a picture of God. See? He came to himself. That's beautiful, isn't it? The mind. What's Luke 8:18? I put it down and I don't remember what it is. Okay. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. If you don't keep that mind going, according to Luke 8:18, you're going to forget. Read it out loud again.
Therefore, take care how you listen. Whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away.
Now, what's the subject? First subject in the first part of the verse. What is the subject?
Listening.
It says if you don't listen and continue to listen, you're going to lose what you listened to before. Review. Deuteronomy 4:9 is a cross-reference. Deuteronomy 4:9.
Take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently.
Keep going.
Lest I forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons.
If you don't keep a continual program of feeding the mind, that is some other truths in those verses as well, but if you don't keep a continual program of feeding the mind, you'll forget. And I have friends and relatives who are real, righteous, God-fearing people who forget more than I do. Now, I forget. And being getting older, I'm forgetting. But one of the best ways to keep from getting is to review it. Questions?
No. You're just hearing the moans of conviction.
Now, why do we forget, according to Deuteronomy 4:9 and Luke 8:18? Why do we forget?
Don't take heed to yourself. You know,
maintain.
Don't review. We don't review, we don't keep reading. Now, and here I hear, you guys are educated, so you'll forgive this Eric Hoffer here. You know who Eric Hoffer is? Mm-hmm. Eric Hoffer is a... He didn't graduate from high school, did he? Maybe he did.
Wrote The Believer. And
yeah. He was a longshoreman all of his life. They offered him a chair at the University of California, chair of philosophy. Yeah. And he'd never darken the door of a college except to lecture. Yeah. Now, what you want to do is to have some masterpieces and reread them. Now, this may sound funny to you educators, but you want to do this. You want to reread them. You want to read them when you're in your 20s, and then read them in your 30s, and read them in your 40s, and read them in your 50s. There's some people who've done some fantastic works, you know. I have some books that in my training programs, back in the 60s, that I used to have my guys and gals read once every 6 months. Same book.
What are some of those?
Yeah, that's one.
All right. Have We No Rights by Mabel Williamson. It's out of print. If you could get us some copies of that, I'd pay you double price. Used to cost about 95 cents. It costs about $1.95 now if you can find them, but they're out of print. Have We No Rights? By Mabel Williamson.
Somebody else was preaching.
Another book is, you might smile at this, but Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Back the Friends You've Influenced. Another pamphlet is Born to Reproduce. Doesn't take you all that long to read it. See? Another little pamphlet by Doss, a sermon by Doss. This is sermons by Doss, The Need of the Hour. Doesn't take you all that long to read it. One that is becoming a manual is The Seven Laws of Harvest. Do you have a copy of that at all? Do you have that? If you don't, you put that down, I'll get that for you. I'm using it.
Seven Laws of Harvest?
By Peterson.
Peterson?
Peterson, it's a manual. It's a manual. Absolutely manual.
That's not his book, is it? Evangelism is a lifestyle.
No, probably another one. He's a Multnomah, see?
Different.
Now, I'm just now getting into Edmund's stuff. I wouldn't say that his books are necessarily manuals. Rather than going through one over and over, just go keep going through and pick up another one because they're that much alike and they're that much, you know. And, of course, I have, you won't get a hold of this, but I have Training Naval Leadership. It's a book on years ago, Training Naval Leadership, but it's so fundamental. I reread it all the time. I keep it on my shelf. Another one is Have We No Rights by Updegraff. But it's, again, that one's out of print.
All the Time You Need.
All the Time You Need. I'm sorry. All the Time. Do you have a copy of that? If you have a copy of that, put a chain on it and chain it to a chair. Because it'll cost you about anywhere from $40 to $100 if you find a copy.
You mentioned that years ago when we found it over here at the school library and read it.
Well, one of some of the boys talked to him and... you know, and there's not enough demand to reprint it. But the principles on the use of time blows you away. And it's so simple. I could give you the pointers here, and you'd say, good night, it's so obvious. See? In training your men, there are not all that many in my limited experience. I'm sure there's a lot that I haven't gone on to. See? There's not all that many. But, and now, of course, a little book that I use to read once or twice or three times that I've just gone in the last 4 or 5 years is The Richest Man in Babylon. You familiar with that little book?
Mm-hmm.
But you can get those principles and copy it down on your notebook pages, 3 or 4 pages, and you won't have to reread it.
Oh, what's that about?
Money, how to organize money, and it's very cleverly written. It's money principles. Not money in regard to how to dig oil wells or something like that, but how, the wage earner, how to get ahead and manage his money. See? Now, this isn't all that far removed from helping the needs of your mate. Okay? We're not getting very far very fast, are we? Okay, a statue, physical. Fellas, sensible schedule, hours, rest, eating, and exercise. Helen and I have found that disciplined hours of sleep, rest, eating, and exercise go back to the intellect, to the mindset. Sensible hours of eating and exercise. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. See? Favor with God and man. Okay? Sensible hours of eating and sleep and rest. Go feeds off of the mind, off of the first one. On the mindset. Eat modestly. Exercise program. We jog. Now, with the wife, start off with something she can do. I mean, if you're one of these kind of guys that, you know, roar around the block, or if your men are, you know, just go for a walk with her. And then let her have on her slacks or shorts and with comfortable shoes. She can have cheap shorts and cheap slacks and cheap blouse, but have the best shoes money can buy. The very best shoe that you can get in your sports gear. The very best. And I've been able to make some fantastic progress with my feet by good shoes. All right. And then be consistent. See? Fellas, you can't overemphasize her physical looks and her dress. Whatever you do to make her trim and comfortable and pretty in her viewpoint, and whatever you do to make her dress comfortably and attractive cannot be overdone. You can't overdo it. I don't care how much you do, you still can't overdo it. Now, this is an old trick, but it means more to them than it does to us. How they look means more to them than it does to us. I mean, how they look means more to them than how we look. And how they look to themselves means more to them than how they look to us. And how they dress means more to them. You can't overdo it. So, if your girls have a chance to be heavy, really do some real intellectual thinking on food value, and how to eat as a lifestyle. I didn't get into this last over 40 years old. But now then I know how to eat as a lifestyle. And my eating out costs me anywhere from $50 to $150 more than it does other my counterparts, because I just don't eat hamburgers all the time. See? And when I do, see, because I eat protein. If I do eat hamburgers, sometimes I throw the bun away. And I eat little steaks. But I'm 61 and feeling great. And just come off the most fiercest weekend I've ever had, unless it was the weekend before last. I was in Virginia weekend before last, and I had 2 days at home, and I was in Missouri just yesterday, come home last night, and I got 1 day at home, and this is it. Tomorrow I go to Lubbock, see? But I feel great. Well, it's pacing myself, it's exercise, and it's eating. And the same is with Helen. Okay? Now, with the babies coming on, you gotta watch it. But this is a way to help her. We really work hard at retiring by 10 o'clock. We really do. And when one of us can't retire at 10, the other one can't, does. So if we have guests or what have you, or if something comes or phone calls, we've long since dispensed with retiring at the same time. Boy, one of us get in there, the other one, you know, at least, you know, we're working at it as a team, see? And it helps.
John, how do you help, see, like right now, you know, with me, Angela's not getting much sleep at all, and I don't know how to protect her about that.
Is it the babies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to work at it. This is a season. You have to work at it. If you could work somewhere where you could look at the babies, or on your day off, if you could look at the babies or something, and let her have 4 or 5 hours. If you can't have a day, have 4 or 5 hours, you see. You know, she could be off the premise or something, or, you know, just work at it. Really work at it. It won't last forever. And it came to pass. Okay? But before, John, before the babies, if you and she had a rough time getting a decent night's sleep before 6 o'clock in the morning, that's where your problem is. Before the babies came, did you and she have a fair night's sleep before 6 o'clock a.m.?
No, we really did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. Well, then you got something going for you. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have weary day, then how canst thou contend with horses? If you can't outrun a guy on foot, I can do it on horses. If you can't make ends meet as a single man with nobody to look after but you, you can't take on a wife and kids and support them, right? And if in the land of peace wherein I trust, as they weary day, how will that do with the swelling of joy? If you can't swim across a swim pool, you definitely can't swim out of the Jordan when she's high water, boy. See? And you've got to lay this on your hearts of your men. He's lollygagging around and can't get it done. See? And it's thought pattern and mindset. The key is mindset, changing one's mind. See? If one is on top physically, weight, exercise, rest, and so forth, he feels better, clothes fit better, doesn't have to make excuses for himself, his mind is off himself more on getting his work done. That's by John Crawford there. The key is mindset, changing one's mind. He may have been wrong about some things, calories, nutrition, junk food. Don't make excuses, don't lie. Isaiah 5:20-21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
What verse is that?
Isaiah 5:20-21. Woe unto them that are wise and own-eyed and prudent. Just don't lie. Help each other, follow a sensible program, and don't fuss or nag. If you take a person that's overweight and you see them eating pie and ice cream at Thanksgiving, don't say anything about it. Pie and ice cream at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter won't make you fat. In fact, if you don't eat anything else between, you'll starve. But it's pie and ice cream every day. Or, you know, that's what it is. Okay? And because I do it or have done it, doesn't make it right, it doesn't make it wrong. You know? Okay, spiritual. It takes time to be spiritual. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, take time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Bodily fitness has a certain value, but spiritual fitness is essential, both for this present life and for the life to come. Phillips. Again, protect each other's time and energy to maintain discipline, time with God. Memory program, help each other. share. Bible study, Bible reading, ministry.
How do you help your wife near any scripture memory?
Review with her.
You know, I've heard two different philosophies on that. One is that you start checking your wife up and you'll incur wrath down the line.
You will. But if when John and I were checking verses, I was using John to help me memorize scripture. He wasn't checking me up. He don't check me up now. He wishes the best for me. But he's not checking up. He wasn't checking me up on then. He wouldn't say, "All right, old man, come on down here and I'll check you up." Because I was coming down fellowshipping with John and fellowshipping with Max last year, I tried to help Max memorize scripture. Max helped me memorize scripture. I wasn't checking Max up.
I see.
Okay. It's your mindset.
Yeah.
See? I was trying to help John memorize scripture. John has set his own program. See? He don't answer to me. But if I can help him, I'd just be glad to do it. Old boy come along here and said, "Look, fellas, I'm a carpenter, and I just got to town, and I just joined a church over here." And he said, "Yeah, we saw you Sunday, man. Glad to have you. Look, you got any leads?" "I sure do. In fact, why don't you phone this number? They're looking for guys. We're trying to help him get a job, get some groceries on the table, man. We'll help all we can. We don't have anything for him to do. You know, we don't have any carpenter work today. But one of our friends in our church is just looking for good men. This old boy come to town, and so we help him." See, it's mindset. Now, this is fantastic in the ministry. We don't want to cram Jesus down a guy's throat. We want to help him find Christ. That's it. If you start checking your wife up, you got a problem. But I have found with Helen and with other wives, if you go about it and it's a blessing to you, it's catching. It really is. It's catching. And vice versa with wife. In these last months, 6 months, Helen has been spending protracted time in prayer. You know what? John has started spending protracted time in prayer. And Helen has never even insinuated. She hasn't even thought of it, I'm sure. I'd like to encourage John to spend protracted time in prayer. I know she hasn't. You see? Beautiful, isn't it? That's one way. Another thing is, encourage her to set a sensible course. Suppose she only memorizes 50 verses a year, one a week. And suppose she only memorizes 25 verses for the next year, for the next 2 years. That gives her 100 verses. My. That's a lot of verses. It really is. Been saved 10 years, 500 verses, 250 verses. Man, anything that you know, really, you know. My daughter's on a reading program, chapter a day. She tells Daddy what she read every day. My secretary got Jay. She took the children to church. They were small, of course. And to keep them busy, she gave them pencils and piece of paper and says, "Now, as a pastor preaches, you put down the subject and you draw pictures here of whatever any kind of pictures of what he is talking about, what it makes you think of. Don't put his words down, but draw pictures." And that was very entertaining. And so Jay cottoned on to the idea. He said, "I think I'll draw pictures of what I read." So he started in Genesis and drew a picture. Got over Methuselah and he gave it a title. So Mom got him a notebook, or Sue, my secretary, and he got a title. The title of Genesis with Methuselah was "The Oldest Man in the World." That was the title of that chapter. Can't beat that. And it was a beard. Just a long beard on one page. "The Oldest Man in the World," beard. But you know, you and I know what chapter it is. We don't know the number, but see? and went right on through. And did you know before he was 16, he had gone through the Bible and titled and drew a picture of every chapter in the book. Only takes 3.5 years. Every day. Nothing to it, really. It only took him 5 minutes a day. Quiet time. So simple, isn't it? Bonnie's in Psalm 75 now. We didn't, there wasn't all that much talk about over Numbers and Chronicles, but we read it. Okay, it's what? By the time she gets through high school, Daddy would have checked her out on every chapter in the Bible. Slow? Not all that bad as she goes off to college. I heard the other day, a fellow told me, some of the staff had never read the Bible through. I said, well, you got your notebook and pencil? He said, no, but I can remember it. I said, I'll tell you something. None of them people work for John Crawford. You can write that down. He said, I don't have to write it down. Okay, I think I can remember that. Yeah, he said he could remember that. Beautiful, isn't it? So this is what I would do. Okay? Arrange to have protected times alone as well as regular times. Arrange for your wife to have protected time by herself. Praying together, first it was a schedule and a spiritual exercise. These last years it's been survival. First it was a spiritual exercise. These last years it's been survival. Protracted time, arranged that she would have some time, more than 30 minutes, you see, several hours, you know, several hours. Like Bonnie is now in high school and I'm away for 4 or 5 days, then I trust Helen is getting half days or 3 or 4 hours in one of the back bedrooms or to the local library. If she doesn't, you see, there's nothing I can do. I encourage that. See?
You just make sure that she can have that.
Yes. Insist on it. See? See, we're in a team business. You know, we're in a team. Social? Now, here's the one by Paige Williams. Do yourself a favor. Love your wife. You guys got that here in the bookstore?
Yeah. I've read it. I don't know if we've got it down there now, but we have read it.
It's on the bookstand, and I got it off the bookstand in Alabama, you know, when they Kmart or something, see? By the way, I got it right here. You need that at all? You got that, huh? I got P204-8. I got all that stuff. You can copy that down. How to order it. Paige Williams. I'll give you here just a minute. You can copy that down. See, there it is. I happen to put it in my notes.
Okay.
Now, again, I reiterate, some of these things that you've read once or twice, then be sure your men read them. You know, be sure. And check up on him. Don't force it on him, but check up on him. And, you know, because some kind of a guy is really in a spot for something. And that's a real good one. I wouldn't say it'd be a manual, but you can read it once or twice. And that's about it, really. Oh, once maybe. Pick up some ideas. It's not a manual. Not a manual. When I refer to a manual, I mean something that's on your bookshelf that you're going to reread the rest of the cruise or for a long time. The principles will last for Jay and then his children. See, the principle will be the same. One of the greatest favors a man can do for his wife socially is to present her to as many godly friends that he fellowships with. Some will be his disciples. You see, when I got married, I introduced Helen to some real men of God. One of Helen's greatest joys is to meet the men with whom I have fellowshiped and I have helped. It's these men friends, young and old, that will enhance her respect for me, for him. It's not my girlfriends that makes Helen love me more. It's my men friends. You see, And what really blossoms her life is we travel around and go about, and she meets old cobbers, you know. And they say, Helen, I sure appreciate my fellowship with John, you know. And by the way, one of the greatest joys that we're going to have with ladies who are friends is to present to them a godly husband that we have built up in the faith. As I left New Zealand, I went around and visited some of the couples, and the gals just cried. You know, they just sat there and wept. Well, they were weeping because I was leaving. They were weeping because Helen was leaving. But primarily they were weeping because here an old man had come along and given them one of the finest men they had ever known, namely their husband, and helped him. Now then, they'd have the privilege of living out their cruise with a fellow that loved God and that loved them and knew how to treat them because I had taught them that. And now that old bald-headed cobbler was there, and I just love him in Christ, you see. And so their friend, namely me, was leaving. Their friend who had helped them because I had given them a husband that loved them and looked after them, see. I was their elder in the faith, or brother in the faith, or father in the faith, or, you know. Fantastic. That's social. That's what life is all about. That really makes it all worthwhile. It keeps you going. Social and social activities have to be cultivated. Some together as a couple, some individually with respective groups. I like for Helen to have regular contact with ladies as groups and individuals. She needs this contact. Helen encourages me as my contacts. We also do things together. Jogging, hiking. We've made one backpack trip. She often goes shooting with me, such as I'll go shooting and get a motel, and in the motel, and she'll enjoy that, and I'll go out and we'll come back and I'll tell her my exploits, and we'll go out and have dinner together, and then the last day we'll go out together, you know, and she'll see where I've been and so on, just be out in the field. She doesn't do shooting. All of life must be in seasons and in balance. Thus endeth the reading of the lesson. Seasons and in balance. Baby raising season, the high school season. You don't want to hold them on. You don't want to hold on to them. You want to enjoy the baby talk of your grandkids, not your kids, all your life. You really do want to pass through the seasons. That's one of the hardest things for me at all. You really do. Questions, fellas?
John, you know, it seems like the hardest thing, you know, even at this point anyway, is just the time thing. Could you share with us a little bit about how you keep in control of your time when, you know, people are wanting your time and, you know, just like, what is a typical schedule for you? I know you don't have maybe a typical schedule called all the traveling you gotta do, but if you could share just some of the basic things you do.
John, would you, I think he might answer your question better if you told him what the frustrations are that you're personally dealing with your time.
That would be good. I appreciate that.
Well, with Angela.
Now, you have twins, best, right?
Right.
And this is the first children you have,
mm-hmm.
Two at a time.
And, you know, Max.
You keep
really
that up. Boy, you.
Make careful of that. Principal multiplication. You know, Max has really been sensitive about, you know, protecting my time and stuff. But, you know, I guess I have a hard time feeling productive if I stay at home all the time. And you know, I know that's probably just sin on my part. But, you know, see, like this weekend, a guy called and wanted to come in, and he spent the weekend in the house. And it just seems like a lot of my nights are taken.
Okay, John.
And I can't get my chores done around the house.
You've got to realize life is in seasons. Let me be facetious, okay, since... Do you accept yourself?
I guess so, yeah.
Does he, fellas?
I think he does.
You wish you were different?
I have, you know, I've talked to the guys about, you know, that I've had struggles about, you know,
self-image?
Whether I should be a layman or in the ministry sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you do. That'll be another question, but I said... Okay, I'm presuming that you accept yourself and you accept your wife as you are. And you are like you are. She is like she is. Okay?
Reality.
What is, is. Okay? Now then. Then you have to accept some other basic facts. One is that you really do want to serve God. Right? Would that be right? If you make the odd mistake, you don't have to accept that, right? And we're going to have to accept that. You don't really accept yourself to be... You don't expect yourself to be perfect, 20 out of 20. 19 out of 20 maybe, but not 20 out of 20. Okay? Can you accept the fact that you're going to make the odd mistake? Can you accept the fact that you're going to have the odd bit of impure motive? That once in a while you're going to do something and later you say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. In fact, I had the wrong motive for even doing that. Can you accept that?
I'm not sure what you're thinking about there.
Well, I mean, just that, see?
What's an example of
that? Oh, well, you might decide, well, look, I got a chance to get this car and for $5 a piece, that's $20, I can get white sidewalls, see? Because it'll make the car look a little better. And later you might realize, well, good night, I didn't need to spend that $20. I could spend it for something else. Mud's going to cover the stupid sidewalls anyway. See? So your motive might have been... You might have changed the motive.
Okay.
You might not... You see? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now then. You see, if you accept yourself and accept your right motives, that you're going in the right direction, then others have to accept you. And when your mate says, I'd like to come and lollygag around your house and eat your chow and take up your time for 2 days over the weekend, and you really can't do it, you have to tell him no. And the thought comes, well, will he accept that? And will he read into my having an impure motive? You have to be mentally so that you say, I don't care what he reads into it. I accept myself. I accept my wife. I accept him. If he don't accept me, that's his devotional problem.
I guess that's really, you know, like I don't know if I don't think that was the problem. It's like, you know, I thought the guy had some real needs that were really pressing. And like, for instance, I told Ralph no, you know, about teaching Sunday school, and I didn't have to hesitate about that, and I really didn't feel bad about that.
All right, let me ask you this. Let me go into this. I really have a burden for the down and outer. Would you go along with that? I really have the burden for the wino. Fair enough? You would say that I do, right? I have a burden for a fellow that's down on his luck, right? I have a burden for the hippie, right? I have a burden for fellows on drugs, right? Would you say that if I say I do? John, would you go along with me?
Yeah.
Okay, now how am I going to help them? I'm going to give you some solutions. I'm going to have them out to the house at 6309 Dale Thorpe with Bonnie and in my little old crowded house and give them my extra bedroom. Am I going to help them there? The wino? The skid row bum? Am I going to have them out? Well, if I don't have him out, is it sure I don't love him? You got to answer out loud, or I can't talk to you.
I'm following you.
Yeah. What, do I love him?
Yeah. No, that's
can I have him in my house? Yes or no?
That doesn't necessarily prove you.
Not necessarily, John. I cannot, under any circumstances, under God's heaven, have him in my house. No way, mate. No way. It's no, no, no. And it has nothing to do with my love. I'll give $100 to the missions and let's go down there and hire some professional and try to get them safe. But I can't have him in my house. No. And until you reach that mindset, you're going to have nothing but frustrated problems. This old boy's got some problems. Okay, therefore I should have him in my house for the weekend? No. That's two different subjects. Fellow selling oranges, therefore I should buy a truckload? No. I don't need any oranges.
But what about some guy that you've really invested your life in, John?
Put him in a Holiday Inn. Do anything you want except have him in your house when your wife has two babies and she don't have sleep. I don't care how many. You see, it's a doctrinal problem. The end justifies the means. In other words, it's come up over the weekend. Well, I can't tell my man not to go in a pub if he's witnessing for Christ. Doctrinally, he's in for nothing but a bag full of problems. In other words, what I do justifies, the end justifies what I do. No! Going in a pub, it stands alone. He goes in a pub and doesn't go in a pub because he goes in a pub and doesn't go in a pub, and he's got to justify that. Going in there in order to witness for Christ is a bunch of hogwash. In other words, it's my responsibility to witness for Christ, my responsibility to get souls saved. No! It's God's responsibility. My responsibility is to be obedient. And doctrinally, a lot of guys don't have that settled. I don't go in pubs, period. You say, well, a lot of people in there are getting saved. Well, God's going to have to send them out here to the door.
He doesn't live in a pub. He goes in and out.
Yeah. I'll catch him when he comes out. See what I mean? And what we're saying is, we're going to get people in Bible study. Therefore, they've got to come to the BSU at, what's this address?
435 West Boyd.
No. He's going to get saved in the BSU, and we're going to take the people in 435 West Boyd and send them down to the dorm. Right? Go out on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go and get them. Go and get them. How beautiful are the feet? Why the feet? Why the feet, Ralph?
Because
you got to go. The go verses have to do with the feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, because feet is going to the field. They won't come to you. Feet. I just got that this last weekend. You can have it. There's a cross reference. You know, there's two cross references on beautiful feet in the gospel.
Is it Romans 10 and Isaiah?
Yeah. That's right. See, I just got that. Isn't that funny? I just got that. So what we're saying here is, this guy needs help. Then we say, therefore I got to have my house. No, this guy needs help. What is. Now then, how am I going to help him? See? What did I do with my pencil? That little one I write. Where is it? Hey, I use that one. How about that? Is that one?
I think so.
Where is that? How beautiful are the feet? Was that Isaiah 52:7? Is that it?
Yeah, it's something 7.
52:7. Try it.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news.
Is that 52:7?
Yeah.
John, are we communicating? You talk out loud. If you don't talk, I can't help you. You got to talk out loud. You got to say words out loud.
Okay. Put that verse to music.
What? Yeah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying regarding having fellas in your house and helping them?
Yeah. That can go for a lot of things. You got to understand that the means.
Now, what did you literally? Was this the more recent problem in your time? You had a guy in your home, a house guest. Huh?
Yes.
And took up extra time.
All my time.
Well, and So you used all your time to meet one of his problems, let's say. You're going to have to sort that out and let him stay in the flop house or something like that, see?
Well, it kind of, really, you know, I've come to find out I just needed to ask him some questions on the phone, and he probably wouldn't have had to come up.
But this is what you got to sort out.
He just said, you know, I've got some time, and I'd really like to come up and talk to you about some things that are really on my mind. And he didn't have any problems at all. He was worried about the fact that I was worried about whether he was making disciples still or something, because I hadn't kept in good communication with him, you know, and I'd worked with him several years before. So he wanted to come up and tell me that everything was okay, you know, and that he was still walking with God and he was investing in other people's lives and everything, you know, and he spent a day and a half with him. And I didn't have it.
Well, why don't you use this as an illustration, but your mindset and your quite, you got to be tough-minded. You got to be able to talk, and you're going to have to make people talk out loud like I'm making you talk out loud, and so I can hear you, and you're going to have to make him talk out loud. Now tell me your problem. You got to be tough-minded. And it, being tough-minded and talking out loud doesn't make you a baddie. Doesn't make you a goodie. See what I mean? Now, this is the reason I'm going full speed. Is that I'm being tougher and tougher-minded.
So, like, if you had... Like, if you have to stay out late, John, or something, do you still... You know, I heard you one time say you always try to get 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if you have to stay out till midnight?
But then I don't get 8 hours. But again, a habit. We went over the little booklet of habit. Successful man, we went over that. You got to make a habit, a habit, a habit. Like this weekend, man, I was... they was lined up in my outside of my room till 12:30. Saturday night. I preached Saturday night at 12:30, see, and so on. Well, I've learned enough not to take a workshop, so my next session was 11 o'clock. Well, I didn't have a quiet time Sunday morning, see? But by the same token, being a Levite, you got to take half days when you have two or three quiet times. When you go from 8 to 11, and just you're feeding your soul, see? And so when you go on these weekend 4 days... Here I was out there ready to harvest. It's kind of like an old boy out in the duck blind, you know, and the duck's coming over and he decides to have a drink of whiskey or smoke a cigarette, see? Well, you know. He really missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, so there are seasons again.
My whole life is in seasons. And you make a decision against the backdrop of your whole life. And then you make it against a year, and then you make it against a month, and you make it against a week, and you make it against a day.
That's good.
You know?
I like that.
And if I send you down to get 13 bushels of grapes, and you come back with 13 bushels of grapes, and I say, well, how was it? You say, well, you're going 3 days, see? You say, well, nothing to it, John. Actually, he says, I found the grapes, and he says, I shot quail the first 2 days, and then I had the boys pick them on the last day and just come on home. No problem. You grown man, you know, since you put, and I'm just thinking of these illustrations, see. I didn't say pick one grape every third minute, and you know, you see. You gotta sort these things out. But you gotta get that is. It takes 5 or 6 months to get is down straight. You are where you are, therefore you got to have a guy in your home to answer questions. No. You don't ever have a guy in your home. See, I used to think you have to have flats and have to have inspection and have to have training programs until I went to New Zealand. Boy, they live crummy in them fellas' flats in New Zealand. I got some of the best disciple makers and the biggest hearted missionaries that come out of them crummy flats. I wouldn't allow that in the United States at all, what I did there. See? Well, because all those Kiwi guys, they figure they're going to marry one of them little Kiwi gals and she's going to keep that little hut nice, and I'm going to leave, and why use my energies on trying to make them keep their socks clean when it don't make that much difference?